Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Bruchim Aboim to another week of insights into Parshas HaShavua. We're zeichet to start Sefer Devarim, the fifth and final of the Svarim in the Chumash, and the entire Sefer Devarim was spoken by Moshe Rabbeinu in the last 5 weeks of his life. And Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to cover tonight just the beginning of the Parsha, just one concept, one theme, but I think it will help us with the Parsha, especially as this coming Shabbos is not only Parshas Devarim, but it's also Shabbos Chazoin. And if Chalila were still in Golos, it will be Tisha B'Av Tavshin Pei Aleph on Matzei Shabbos. So I'm very grateful to all those joining here on the phone, those who listen to the recording. As we mention each and every week, the point of insights into Parshas HaShavua is not only to become more knowledgeable in the Parsha and to get Chizuk, but also to enhance our Shabbos Kodesh, so that at the Seder, going for a walk, or in Shul, or with our children, or with the Chavrusim, with whomever it might be, to speak out in Yonim of the Parsha, thereby enhancing our Shabbos Kodesh. Tonight's Shir on Parshas Devarim is being sponsored by Aaron and Raquel Franklin. We're very, very grateful to them for their sponsorship of tonight's shiur. Again, we want to thank Aaron and Raquel Franklin for their sponsorship. It says, Zchus Refuah Shalema for Aaron's mother, Malia Bas Miriam. Aaron's mother needs a Refuah Shalema. And hopefully the chizuk and the learning and the coming together and enhancing our Shabbos Kodesh should all indeed be as a Zchus Refuah Shalema for Malia Bas Miriam. Once again, we're very grateful to the Franklin Mishpacha for their sponsorship, and it's with a tefillah on our lips and thinking in our heart that it should be as a zechus refuah shleima for Malia Bas Miriam b'soich shar chayli Yisrael. We're really only discussing the very beginning of the parasha. As I said a few moments ago, it's the beginning. It's only one theme, but I think it's a critical theme, especially as it relates to approaching Shabbos Chazayin and Tisha B'Av 5781. We mentioned when we started that the entire Sefer Devarim was spoken by Moshe Rabbeinu in the last 5 weeks of his life. You might almost refer to it as a tzavah, his last will and testament to Klal Yisrael, his beloved nation. It was really a number, a string of rebukes, teichacha, that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Klal Yisrael. He wanted to remind them of the long string of aveiros and rebellions that marked the 40 years in our sojourn in the Midbar after Yetzias Mitzrayim. We were so sure and we were confident that we wouldn't give in to alien influences, temptation in Canaan. We had to be reminded of the aveiros that we had committed. If they and their parents could commit aveiros when they were surrounded by miracles in the Midbar, Kal v'choymer, how much greater would the danger be without a constant reminder? However, the key to the teichacha, or if you will, the veiled musar, the rebuke that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Klal Yisrael, which marks the first few psukim in Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Bamidbar, take a look at Rashi, take a look at Unklus, take a look at our Mefarshim. Moshe Rabbeinu did not mention the Averis to sins explicitly. He alluded to them. Some were done biremiza with a hint, either by using the name of a place that they had sojourned or another type of veiled reference. And you take a look when it speaks about the Midbar and Kodesh Barnea, Mul Suf, Ba'arava, Bein Paran, Bein Teufel V'Lavon, each and every one of those places, take a look at Rashi. Rashi tells us it was a hint, a remez, a reference, an allusion, a veiled way of giving Musar to remind them of the Aveira when they complained by the Mon, by the Slav, the Meraglim, the rebellion of Kairach. And it's that I want to focus on tonight. How Moshe Rabbeinu chose to give the Musar to Klal Yisrael. The Mefarshim speak out how many volumes can be learned. Volumes. The way that he gave it, how he gave it, to whom he gave it, when he gave it. Moshe Rabbeinu, as I said a moment ago, this was written, Sefer Devarim, the last 5 weeks of his life. He didn't give the Musar to Klal Yisrael until right before his death. The timing in not giving the Teichacha until that point was deliberate. Not only because it would lend more weight to his words being given right before he passed away, but perhaps as important, if not more important, it protected them from shame. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu would have given the Musar years earlier during their sojourn in the Midbar, it would mean that they would have to continuously, constantly face many times, countless times, Moshe Rabbeinu. And every time they would see him, it would be a reminder of their averus, of what they did that was wrong. Each and every time they'd be overcome with shame. When you have to face somebody on a constant basis for years, it could really have your self-esteem take a hit. So Moshe Rabbeinu, you find the same thing by Yaakov Avinu. Moshe Rabbeinu deliberately waited to give the reproach and the Musar till right before his death so that the people would be able to preserve and maintain, to retain their dignity. So much has to be learned, not only when the person gives the Musar, but the person who gives the Musar has to take into account the attitude of the recipient, the emotions of the recipient, the position of the recipient. Are you giving it over in a way that the person will be able to receive it as such? You mean it as constructive criticism. I must tell you that one of the favorite quotes, Mamare Chazal, of my father's Atzal, Harav Mordechai Shapiro, were the words of the Chachamim Chazal that teach us, Divrei Chachamim Benachas Nishmoin, which literally means, Divrei Chachamim, when the words of our Chachamim are spoken Benachas, in a proper, positive, gentle fashion, Nishmoin, then they'll be listened to. The Maral Prague tells us, because of Moshe Rabbeinu's extreme sensitivity towards Klal Yisrael, when he listed in the psukim that I just told you, those 7 or 8 locations, each one referencing and referring, hinting, alluding to a different Aveira, he did not list the Averas in chronological order. He didn't list it the way that they actually happened in year order, because had they been recounted in chronological order, then it would have come across very glaring, very explicit. So not only did Moshe Rabbeinu decide who to give it over to, how to give it over, when to give it over, but even in the fashion of recounting and deliberately not doing it in chronological order, waiting as long as he could to give them Musar, doing it with care, not listing it in chronological order, that is going to extreme sensitivity, taking into account the recipient of who you have to give the Musar to. There's a tremendous pshat that I remember hearing many, many years ago. It could be, and I apologize, but I believe it might be from the Narami Pano. If you take a look, there was no friendship relationship like that of David and Yehoinathan. If you take a look in Navi, when Yehoinathan passed away and David is lamenting the loss of Yehoinathan and speaking about how wondrous the love was that was between them, Niflasa Avoska, then David HaMelech says, May Ahavas Noshim. Now, literally, what May Ahavas Noshim means is that it was the love that women have for each other, or women are capable of loving. Me'avas noshim basically means that the love was as great as the love that women are capable of having and giving over. But listen to a mayridika pshat. It could also be translated, me'avas noshim, in the following fashion. David HaMelech understood the extraordinary and remarkable relationship that he had with Yehoinathan and Yehoinathan had with him. But if you think about it, it really didn't seem to make sense because Shaul HaMelech was the king. And the Melucha should have gone to his son, Yehoinasan, not to his son-in-law, David HaMelech. Yet it bypassed his son, Yehoinasan, and went to David HaMelech. What extreme love, sensitivity, dignity, caring. Where did that come from? David HaMelech, as I'm speaking to himself, says, let's take a look back a few generations. David HaMelech came from Leah. Yehoinasan came from Rachel, right? David HaMelech came from Yehuda, and Yehuda came from Leah. Yehoinasan came from Shaul, Shaul came from Binyamin, and Binyamin came from Rachel. Going back generations ago, it's as if David was saying to himself, do you know Yehoinasan? What your great-grandmother did for my great-grandmother? Yehoinasan's great-grandmother, Rachel, what did she do for David's great-grandmother, Leah? Giving over the simanim, the signs. There were signs that Yaakov Avinu gave to Rachel to be able to marry her. But Rachel Imenu found out that Lavan planned on switching Rachel for Leah, not wanting Leah to be embarrassed, wanting her to maintain her dignity. Rachel, in one of the greatest and most extreme selfless acts in the history of Klal Yisrael, gave over the simanim to Leah so Leah would not be embarrassed. So now, years later, when David, in Kinas David, is lamenting the loss of Yehoinasan, and he wonders, how could it be that if I got the Malucha, the kingdom, and you didn't, that you loved me the way that you did? It could only be because of what your great-grandmother did for my great-grandmother, what Rachel did for Leah by giving over the simanim. That love, that protecting the dignity, it must be that it was entrenched and ingrained in the DNA of our families, and that's how generations later, you can love me the way that you do, and that's what the Navi means. How is it, how wondrous is your love for me? May Ahavas Nashim, may Ahavas Nashim, it comes from the love of women. Which love of women? The love that Rachel had for Leah. That's what it means, may Ahavas Nashim. What we witness in our generation, David and Yehoinasan, comes from the love that Rachel, the dignity, the wanting to protect that Rachel did for Leah. And that is mamish what we find in the beginning of Parshas Devarim, when we learn about the acute and extreme sensitivity of Moshe Rabbeinu, who to give the Mussar to, when to give it, deliberately right before he passes away so that people should not have to see Moshe. When you see someone that you feel ashamed in front of again and again and again, and it's constantly in front of you, your self-esteem takes a knock. You don't feel good about yourself. And Moshe Rabbeinu said that would not make the Mussar productive. My ridikimavelt, especially as we approach Shabbos Chazoin, there are some times that we have to give a person Mussar and rebuke. But are we taking into account the recipient's attitude, position, feelings, emotions? Because if you don't, then you're not ready to give Mussar. And it's so apropos that Dvarim should be Shabbos Chazoin, because it is the art of how to rebuke. When, to whom, how to say it. Even not to give it over in chronological order, says the Maral Mitrag, so that it wouldn't be so explicit, it wouldn't be so glaring. It's almost impossible to give any shir on the art of giving Mussar Teichacha rebuke without sharing with the Olam an absolutely precious and priceless story that's personal in our family, for it happened with the Chazon Ish on the first time that my father's Atzal went to visit him. Our family cousin was Reb Shloimke Berman, the son-in-law of the Stipler. Reb Shloimke's uncle was, of course, the Chazon Ish, a brother-in-law of the Stipler. When my father went to Eretz Yisrael in Tovshin Yud Aleph 1951, 70 years ago, on the first Shabbos that he was in Bnei Brak, his cousin Reb Shlemke Berman took him Shabbos afternoon to visit his uncle, the Gadol Hador, the Chazon Ish. Picture this scene. At the head of the table on Shabbos in Bnei Brak was sitting the Chazon Ish, and on one side his nephew by marriage of Shlemke Berman, our family cousin, and on the other side my father Zatzal. And in middle of the conversation, at one point the Chazon Ish turned to his nephew Reb Shlemke Berman and asked him what the time was. What time is it? My father didn't understand the question because the Chazon Ish did not use the Erev in Bnei Brak, and therefore by extension, neither would his nephew, Reb Shlemke Berman. So obviously he wouldn't be wearing a watch. So why did the Chazon Ish ask him what time it was? Then my father looked down at his own wrist and saw that he was wearing a watch. And then he remembered that in America they told him that the Chazon Ish had the most beautiful way of giving Musa. That if he wanted to say something to A, he would say it to B for A to pick up on. He would give it indirectly so that it should be understood. And so my father thought that when the Chazon Ish said to Reb Shlemke what time it is, that was the Chazon Ish's way of indirectly giving to Chacham Musa to my father to tell my father he shouldn't be wearing the watch. So my father took off his watch, having chopped right away, and he handed it to the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish broke out into a big smile. And then he said these words to my father. Holding my father's watch, he said, Gut gut, Reb Mordecha. Itzter vosechob ayra mashke. Now that I have something that belongs to you, I know you're going to come back and visit me again because you have to come and pick up your watch. And when my father would recount the story, he would have demois tears and then say, that way of the Chazon Ish giving Musar, that beautiful, beautiful way of the Chazon Ish giving Musar on that first time ended up leading to well over 100 additional visits that my father had just with the Chazon Ish. More than 100 visits just with the Chazon Ish from that initial way. Gut gut Reb Mordecha Itzter vosechob ayra mashken. I know you're going to visit me again. That's the lesson of the beginning of Parshas Dvarim. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu wants to teach us. And that's something that we have to remember as we approach during the 9 days Shabbos Chazoin. To improve our Ahavas Yisrael and our Ahavas Chinam, sometimes something has to be said to a spouse or to a person, and the muster has to be given. Remember, Divrei Chachomim Benachas Lishmo. And I saw a beautiful story brought down. There was a Rav in Poland who got up to the Bima during Chol HaMoed, and he announced during Chol HaMoed of one of the Yomim Tovim, either Sukkot or Pesach, I don't know which one, I can't daven in the shul, I'm ashamed to daven with thieves. Now obviously the membership was very taken aback. None of them were thieves. They didn't steal. They were totally flummoxed. What did the Rav mean, pray tell, I can't daven with thieves? True, they had many failings, but this wasn't one of them. When they questioned the Rav in Poland, he explained why he made the startling statement, and this is what he said, Rabbi Isai. It's Chol HaMoed now. And we know during Chol HaMoed that a Yid should not shave nor take a haircut. Yet I look around at a number of the members in the shul and they have newly shaven faces, a clean haircut. Now, how could I justify this blatant disregard for halacha? Well, the only dispensation that I thought of, or one of them, we know the halacha is that somebody who is released from prison on Chol HaMoed is allowed to shave. So I figured that must be the case, that all these people were just clearly released from prison, and that's why they shaved. But then I wondered, why would a member of my congregation be incarcerated? And the only thing I came up with was theft. And so I cannot daven with thieves. And obviously the Mispalim understood and they received the message. And they took the message to heart. It may very well be had they gotten up and said, this is the blatant disregard for halacha, and that's the blatant disregard for halacha, there would have been rationalizations, there would have been justifications,
there would have been a quote from here, a quote from there, challenges and challenges.
But the Rav got up and he said a startling statement, I can't daven with thieves. And they were so flummoxed, they asked for the explanation, and they realized once he gave over the explanation in that fashion, then they were able to accept the words from the Rav, because as we said, Divrei Chachamim, Benachas, Nishmoin. That's the way for a person to speak. That's why there were more than 100 additional visits with the Chazon Ish, because of the way the Chazon Ish spoke to my father after receiving the watch. There's a tremendous pshat from the Shulah HaKadosh, Rabbi Yisai. If there is one thing that you take out of tonight's shir, I hope you take out a lot of things, but if there was one, I certainly hope that it would be this pshat from the Shulah HaKadosh. Shlomo HaMelech tells us in Mishlei Al Teichach Letz, don't rebuke a scoffer, pen yisna'eka, he'll hate you, lest he hate you. Heichach lechachom, rebuke the wise person, v'yahavchan, he will love you. Now the question should be obvious. It's not the wise person that needs the mussar, it's the scoffer, the letz, that needs the mussar. So what is Shlomo HaMelech telling us? Don't give the mussar to the letz, give it to the chacham. Shouldn't it be just the opposite? Says the Shulah HaKadosh, Al Toichach Letz does not mean, don't translate it only the literal sense, not to give mussar to a letz. Rather, what it means is, Al Toichach Letz, don't give mussar by calling somebody a letz. By pointing a finger at a spouse or a child or a person and saying, you're a letz, you're a scoffer, you're no good. You tell that to a child, it may, God forbid, come become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Never, ever do that. Why can't you be more like so-and-so? Why do you always have to? The way to give mussar is by calling the person a chacham. You're an exceptional person. You're a wonderful person. And I think you could do better. And that person will ultimately listen to the mussar, listen to the rebuke, and ultimately Be'ezus Hashem love you. Never give mussar. Now true, you'll find throughout Chazal, there are sometimes you find in Navi, and you find sometimes when the punishment, the makas, has to be administered, sometimes a punishment has to be harsher or more direct. There are certainly exceptions to the rule. There are certainly times that if a nation is not picking up on what the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, it has to be given over in a stronger and harsher and more direct way. You find that in Navi. You find that from time to time. That's true. But each and every occasion has to be weighed and measured meticulously. Al toichach letz. Don't put the person down. Hoichach lechochom. Build them up and tell them how wonderful they can be. Al toichach, that was from the Shulah HaKadosh. I remember once sharing this pshat, and Mechaneches came over to me and she told me such a sad story. It's a heartbreaking story. But I share it with you just to show you what it means when you put somebody down and when you're constantly negative in terms of giving over your mussar. This Mechanecha shared with me, I'm obviously not going to mention her name or the school, but she shared with me that when she was teaching either the kindergarten boys or the first grade boys in a particular cheder, each and every morning she told them, pick up your right hand and place it over your eyes. And with your right hand covering your eyes, say after me, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And she noticed one boy in the front row, no matter how many times she gave over this message, he never picked up his right hand to cover his eyes. Everyone else followed the simple order. Pick up your right hand, cover your eyes, say after me, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Never once did the boy do this. One day she called over this little boy and she asked him, I noticed that whenever I tell them to pick up their right hand and cover, you never do it, why not? And he answered her, I don't have a right hand. And she was so taken aback because she looked down at this healthy boy and Baruch Hashem, he had a right hand and a left hand. So she didn't know, what did he mean by that comment? I don't have a right hand. Clearly he did. And then with sadness, he told her, no, I don't think I have a right hand. You see, every morning when I'm getting ready for cheder, I'm running late. And I'm a bit clumsy. I'll knock over the milk. I'll knock over a vase. I can't tie my shoes properly. The knapsack may not be properly closed. And my mother, when she would admonish me and give me musaf, she would say to me, oh, you have two left hands. And so, no, I must not have a right hand. We know the expression, of course, two left feet. This expression that she used to her child, seeing that he was clumsy or knocked something over, couldn't tie his shoes or couldn't close his knapsack properly. I'm telling you, a maisa, maisa, shahaya, kachaya. Could you imagine a mother telling the parents, oh, you have two left hands? It became a self-fulfilling prophecy. He didn't think he had a right hand. He couldn't cover his eyes and say Kriya Shema. Al toichach letz. Rather, hoichach lechochom, the person has to be built up. And when you build the person up and it's done with chokhmah and done with love, done exactly following the template and the protocol, the way Moshe Rabbeinu established in the beginning of this week's parsha, as we approach Shabbos Chazayin and Tisha B'Av, one can understand how, when a person has to give musar, it should be done. I'd like to share with the Olam two beautiful thoughts. Since we're talking about the proper way to give musar, there's a beautiful vort. I believe it's from Rav Gedalia Shor, Zecher Tzadik L'Kadosh Livracha. The pasuk tells us, "Hoicheach teichiach es amisecha v'leisisa olav chet." Hoicheach teichiach es amisecha means that surely, it's a double lashon, surely you have to give rebuke. There are times you have to give musar. What are the words after v'leisisa olav chet? I heard in the name of Gedalia Shor so powerfully, sisa is also from the word vayisa, which is to raise up.
Sometimes you surely have to give musar. It might be to a spouse or to a child or whoever it might be. Remember, leisisa olav chet. Don't raise up the chet. Don't blow it out of proportion. Don't make it so grandiose where all of a sudden you have the greatest memory in the world. You know, in the last 12 years, you did this 18 times. I've got to tell you, in the last 6 months, 5 times this. All of a sudden, now the person has the extraordinary memory. Surely there are times one has to give musar. Don't raise it up. Don't blow it out of proportion and make it so grandiose that you think it's insurmountable. That won't get you anywhere.
Based on something that Reb Chaim Volozhiner tells us, we find by Yaakov Avinu, we mentioned this pshat in the past, we find by Yaakov Avinu that when he had Ephraim and Menashe in front of him, Sikel es yodav, as I'm indicating now, he switched his hands. When you switch your hands, that means you put the right on the right side and the left on the left. Based on the words of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, I once heard, this is the way to give proper musar. You see, Rabbi, if I face a person and I put my arms out straight, my left will be on your right and my right will be on your left. The right side of a person represents their strength. The left side represents their weaknesses. Don't face a person and put your arms out directly, because that means you're putting your right, your stronger side, on their left, their weaker side, their deficiencies and chesroinus, their weaknesses. What does it mean you're putting your right side on it? You're building it up. You're blowing it out of proportion. You never, I can't take it. But when it comes to their right side, which represents their strengths and what they do so well, on that you put your left. You really don't acknowledge it. You don't appreciate. You don't have the attitude of gratitude.
Zocht Yankiv Avinu, Sikel Es Yodav. Switch your hands.
Put the right on the right and the left on the left. Oh, the right side of a person, what they do so well.
Supper was delicious. You appreciate something that was done for you. On that, put your right side. Build it up. Let them know. Make them feel good.
But their left side? On that, put your left. Get to the point. Say it. Do it in a positive, meaningful manner where you take the recipient's feelings and emotions into account. Put your left on the left. And that's mamish, a lesson for each of us as we approach Shabbos Chazayin. See Keles Yadav in all our relationships. When it comes to a person's right side, put our right on it. Build them up. Tell them how extraordinary and appreciative we are. But on their left, say it, but do it with the Divrei Chachamim Benachas Nishmoyim. Do it with all the ways that we see this week Moshe Rabbeinu taught us how it's done, to whom it's done, when it's done, why it's done, everything done in a way to enhance and bring people closer. V'leisisa olav chet. A person should not blow it out of proportion. There is a pshat in Parshas Yisroi that I know we have said multiple times, but I'd like to share this with you and then close with a bracha. I share this pshat with you from Parshas Yisroi because really it ties in very beautifully to what we see here from Moshe Rabbeinu. When a person wants to give mussar, when a person wants to achieve with the rebuke the greatest efficacy, the most desired result, let the person know you're doing it out of friendship and caring. As we've said in the entire shir, be mindful to do it in a sensitive manner, in a way that conveys the message. You know, it's very easy to tell people they did something wrong. It's no good. You never do. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. But it's something else to guide them through their error and to help them on their road to recovery. Listen before we conclude to one of the most powerful pshatim, Parshas Yisroi. Why is the Torah named for Yisroi? Rashi tells us in the very beginning of the parsha, because he added a parsha in the Torah. There was a parsha in the Torah that he was responsible for. Rashi tells us, what is he responsible for? Take a look, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. When he told Moshe Rabbeinu how to set up a judicial system, Yud Ches Chaf Aleph tells us, the Ata Sechazem Yikol Am Anshei Chayil Yirei Elokim Anshei Emes Sainei Vatsa. He told him exactly what type of system to set up, men of accomplishment, people who are God-fearing. And since he added that advice, that parsha, those psukim, the Ata Sechazem Yikol Ha'am, that's why to add is yes there, a parsha is named after him, Yisroi, because he gets credited with adding those psukim to the Torah. But one has to wonder, that's not where his advice started. His advice started actually four psukim earlier. Why does Rashi tell us the parsha's name Yisro? Because he added a parsha referencing that pasuk, the Atah Secha, that this is what you should do. His advice actually started four psukim earlier when he turned to his son of Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayomer Choysen Moshe Elav, Lo Yitrev Hadavar Asher Atah Oiseh. What you're doing is not good. That's where his advice started. So why doesn't Rashi say that that's the psukim that were credited to him, why a parsha was named for him? The answer is, you don't get credit for just telling somebody, what you're doing is no good. Anybody can tell somebody it's no good, you're no good, it's not effective, it's wrong. For that, you don't get a parsha named after you. For just telling somebody without any care and concern, what you're doing, you did something wrong. It's easy to tell that to them. What you're doing is no good. For that, you're not getting a parsha named after you. Oh, but to guide them and to go ahead, the Atah Sechazeh, to positively encourage and to say, well, how it can be fixed? What could be done? To just be critical, to just be negative, to just say, oh, there's a problem, a problem, a problem, a problem. For that, you're not getting a parsha named after you. But to tell somebody how it could be fixed, what could be done, know that you're coming from a place of concern, caring, friendship, and love, that is the proper way to give mussar. I want to wish all of us a bracha I feel it's a very important concept for us to instill within ourselves, especially as we approach Tisha B'Av. The beginning of Parshas Devarim and Shabbos Chazayin mamish go hand in hand. Sometimes we do have to give Musar, and we have to do something in a particular relationship. Remember to follow the exact recipe, that which we see in the beginning of the Parsha of Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, the Gemara tells us, Kanoyim Poygin Boy. That means that if somebody did an Aveira, and the type of Aveira that they deserve to be punished, says the Gemara, Kanoyim, those people who are zealous, the people who have Kanoyis, Poygin Boy, they can harm, they can do something to the sinner. Kanoyim Poygin Boy, that's what it literally means. I believe, and we'll conclude with this, it was in the name of the Abder Rebbe, Zechusa Yogan Aleinu, that I heard there's a different explanation. I believe it was the Abder Rebbe who once said it. People came to the Oyev Yisrael, they were very zealous, they were Kanoyim, they had Kanoyis, they found somebody who was a sinner and they felt that he deserved this, that, and the other. And he said, 1 second! That's the way you're translating the word pagan boy? To afflict him? We know that in Sefer Bereishis, when Yaakov Avinu went to a place, the Pasuk says, Vayifka ba'mokim, Vayifka ba'mokim. Zok Rashi, what does Vayifka mean? It's a Lashon Tefillah, to pray and to daven. The Abder Rebbe turned and said, you want to be Kanoim? You want to be zealous? Pagan boy! And pagan is Miloshon Vayifka ba'mokim, a Lashon of Tefillah prayer. Pray for the person. Daven for the person. Care for the person. Do something to show you want the person to improve. So you might be a kanoi, you might be zealous, you might be that you want to tell something. You want to? Then this is the definition, says the Oyev Yisrael, poigin boy, from the word vayifka ba'mokim, which is tefillah, prayer, daven for the person. Add them into your tefillahs. Do something to show them that you care, to build them up, not to knock them down. May it be the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam as we approach Parshas Devarim Shabbos Chazayin, that whenever it is that we have to speak to a person and to give the Musar, we follow all the steps of to whom and how and why and when, so that in each and every one of the relationships it could be built up and brought people closer to each other. And may this Parshas Devarim and Shabbos Chazayin bring us that which we experience right after, the Ezras Hashem, Tisha B'Av should indeed be a Mayed, where this year we're able to see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, Bimheir and Biyameinu.